Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 4 to 5 as our first reading. Our second reading, Romans chapter 8 verse 26 to 27. And our third reading that we all read together is Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. So yeah, that is our anchor scriptures. So the first one is 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 4 to 5. And I read, "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." Wow. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Hallelujah. Second reading, the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Verse 27. "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 that we are all going to read together, which we all know very properly. Let's go. "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Again, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hallelujah. These are anchor scriptures for today. Can we take a word of prayer? Father, so we thank you for today. As your word come, we pray that you come with power and might, establishing our heart and cause our path to shine, transform our lives, and make us people of excellence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are still on special appointment because it's a special appointment. Hallelujah. And as I said, the more I pay attention to this very concept of retreat, it seems like retreat can also take us a very long time. But don't worry, we will soon land. We are almost about to land, but we are still on it. Okay. So last week we looked at protocols of special appointment with God. Protocols of special appointment with God. And I gave you three major protocols. And I said the fourth protocol is what I'll talk about today. But actually, the fourth protocol today is titled Practicing Special Appointment with God. Practicing Special Appointment with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are going to look at practicing special appointment with God. Now, a quick recap. We started with special appointment with God, and we know it as what? Retreat. And we said that although we have daily appointment with God, which is waiting, there are occasions, there are situations, there are times that we have to go on a special appointment. And we say that daily occasion meetings with God, which is waiting, daily appointment with God, is far better than one-time special appointment. So special appointment should not replace our daily encounter or daily occasions with God. But when you notice certain conditions that are occurring in your life, it means that at this point you are being called, or there is a need for you to what, set aside a special time with God. Are we on the same page? So we looked at six conditions that should provoke us to move beyond our daily engagement with God, waitings, our daily appointment with God. And we know that as how God has designed us, we are seekers. Therefore, it is in our natural nature to seek, and it's our spirit that would seek, search. So our daily appointment, our special appointment, is to achieve one thing. We keep searching God. And we know that God designed that our relationship with him will grow stronger on the basis that he conceals things for us and we search into those things. And the more we search into those things, the more we discover more about Him, and the stronger our bond is with Him. So when we move from the condition of retreat or condition of special appointment, we came into a point where we look at the outcome of special appointment. And we looked at that whenever we go for special appointment, our engagement with God goes beyond the grace economy. We enter into what we call the glory economy. And we understand the glory economy, that at this economy, God is very transactional. And the principles of the transaction here is that there are specific things that you must do to be able to gain certain things that has to do with what? The economy of glory. And we know that the economy of glory, there are what? Price tags. So the economy of glory, there are no free things. And God is not only a freebie God. God is not only freebies. There are certain things of God you have to buy them. Revelations told us that we should buy from Him. Are you there? We should buy from Him. Eyelash. We should buy from what? Raiment. So we found out that in there are certain dimensions of God that we have to what? Buy from Him. So when we moved on from the outcome of special appointment with God, we came into, that was last week, looking at the protocols of what? Special appointment with God. And we said that before we go on special appointment, we have to understand certain guidelines, certain things we have to consider to be able to what? Achieve what we want to achieve. Number one, the first is what? The type of what? Retreat we need to go. We look at three types of retreat over there. Do you remember them? Revival, inquiry, and what? Edification retreat. Then we moved on into what? The nature of the retreat. That is the kind of exercise that can be, that will be done on the retreat, whether we are going for a full fasting or partial fasting or no fasting. Hallelujah. And I know you enjoy the aspect of the fasting. And then we look at the third protocol, is preparing for what? The retreat. And we look at what? What do we look at under preparation? Yes, quick. What do we look under preparation? Place and time allocation is one of it. You pray and commit the retreat into the hands of God. That is one. Good. So you have to set the time, the place of meeting, everything. Then the activities, activity allocation. Is that not it? Good. And the materials that you have to carry with you to the retreat. So today, now having gone through all this thing, now what, when we get to the retreat ground, how do we practice it? That is what we are going to look at now. Are we on the journey so far? Are we enjoying the journey so far? All right. So when it comes to our dealings with God, okay, especially one of the most important thing, we are moving into today's message. One of the most important thing with regards to our special appointment with God is how we approach God to gain God's attention and transact business with Him. Having set everything into place, how we approach God is very critical to able to get His attention and what? Transact business with God. We know that God is everywhere, but not with everyone. Are we all on the same page like that? He is omnipresent, but He's not with every place. So God is everywhere. God is accessible everywhere, but there is a need to create the necessary what? System to what? Gain His attention. So as you are here, if you are somebody who likes football, you know that selected sport is everywhere, but it's not in everybody's house. Not everybody, every TV station, every house that you can go and watch selected sports, because you need a router, which you need at least a DSTV or a GoTV or other systems to be able to what, route what is going on over there. Is that not it? I know the ladies, they like African magic. Yeah. African magic is everywhere. But if you don't have what it takes to gain the attention of African magic and direct it to transact business with you, you don't get it. So God is everywhere, but God is not with everyone. Are we all there? Understand that in our approach to practice a special appointment, not only special appointment, all kinds of appointment with God, the approach is very important. One of the things we can easily take for granted is the requirement in approaching God. Due to our dispensation, where we are granted the full access to the very presence of God, unlike the other generation, it is very easy to take things for granted because we are granted full access anytime, anywhere. Are we there? So the fact that you should come boldly does not mean you should come anyhow and behave anyhow. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 said we should come boldly. The fact that God said you should come boldly does not mean you should come anyhow and behave anyhow. Because if you come anyhow and behave anyhow, God will not be what? Responding to your anyhow. Are we all there? The fact that you have been given an invitation to come into Menshia doesn't mean you can go to Menshia and behave anyhow and come anyhow. Can you wear slippers and then t-shirt to Menshia? There you know that who born dog. Again, you know, even though you have an invitation card. So you can have access to Menshia. That is the one of the place we are very familiar with. You can have access to Buckingham Palace, right? That is where the king is right now. Is that not it? But you cannot approach any boldly. Does not mean that come anyhow or behave anyhow. Are we on the same point? So we have to understand it comes along. So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 that we read give us understanding that we should therefore come boldly. Come boldly simply means provisions have been made for you to come to the presence of God without any fear. Without any fear. So, you know, it is not easy as we are here to just get up and decide that you are going to Otunfo's house or you are going to a restricted place. Okay? But the moment you are given an invitation and you have a proof of invitation, when you enter that place, you go with some level of knowing that the provisions have been made for what? Your reception. I remember recent one of the Prophet Jericho asked Osofami and I to come to Osofami to come to where he's working. You know their place very well. So when we entered, because we had an invitation, we entered boldly. Since you were with us, right? We entered boldly, and then we're just walking straight. And one man stopped us. The moment he stopped us, the Prophet said, and then there was free pass. But imagine there was no invitation. Will you even gather that courage to even enter the premises? No, I would dare not. Do you really get it? So, come boldly means that anything that you need to come to the presence of God have been provided. So, there is no fear of coming to that place. Hallelujah. So, because with the former dispensation, when we look at this matter, the reason why God said we should come boldly is because before the former dispensation, that is the dispensation of the law, there were no much provisions that were given to them to come to the presence of God, actually, into the glory. So that can be a matter of life and death. If you read the book of Exodus chapter 28, let's read Exodus chapter 28. I'm laying a foundation, so follow me. Exodus chapter 28 verse 14. You find out that in the design apparel of the high priest, which would take him into the holy place and the holy of holies, it was required that a rope should be tied to the apparel or the apron, right? The garment of the priest. And that rope will be tied outside the outer court. Should in case they don't hear the belt. That is how fearful the presence of God is. So you see, we because of the grace dispensation, you may not understand this. But I'm telling you the extent to which the presence of God. So when the high priest is going there, it is a matter of life and death for them. Should you miss one procedure and you enter there and you are examined, you'll be dragged out. And nobody can go inside to bring you out. So anybody who goes there will be slain. Let's read. And two chains of pure gold at the ends of the hut, writhen, white, I'll make them, and fasten the writhen chains to the hut, the ouches. Take me to the verse 35. If you read here, it is talking about the wear of Aaron, the high priest. And thou shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. Have I 28. What have you done to 29? That is chapter 28, verse 35. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. He's talking about the rope. And his sound shall be heard. So the rope moving, there's a bell, so it will be ringing. So we know that, okay, in that place. When he goeth into the hut, holy place, before who? Before the Lord. And when he cometh out, thou he shall out, he die not. So this presence of God you are taking for granted. The high priest Aaron, under that dispensation, when they are going there, they must tie a rope. And there's a bell that is on their distance. The rope will be, whilst they move, we'll be hearing the sound of the bell outside. If we don't hear it, Ayeka, we have to drag you out. But in our time, he said we should come boldly. Are we there? So there is a fear around the presence of God. The presence of God is not, he said to Moses, nobody sees my face and leaves. Nobody. So this thing that we are going to seek the face of the Lord, you must know what you are going to do. Because the high priest. So we shouldn't take this approaching God. So we are going to seek the face of God. I'm coming before the presence of God. The presence of God is here. When we are church, these statements we make, sometimes we don't know what we are saying. The presence of God here. Are you sure? Because the presence maybe is great, but if it's a glory realm, you yourself, you know what exactly you have invited yourself into. If you don't really know how scary the presence of God is, your time, read the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 2. You will be oriented properly. You receive proper orientation. I said, read what? Ezekiel chapter 1, receive proper orientation of the likelihood of an encounter with God's glory. There are some realms, don't pray for them. They can scare you to death. I want to see your face. He will show you his face one day. But it's not scary. Because of the same we are, the grace factor. Are we there? Can we move on? Okay. So, therefore, even though we are being given full access to come anytime to his presence, unlike the other dispensation. Other dispensation once in a heart, a year. The Holy of Holies, once in a year. If the prayer mistake, slip and fall over there when it is not time for 1 year, that is it. There is no room for error. You go there once in a while, but you are given the to go there anytime, any day. Therefore, we must learn to approach God with all. Understand what we are going to do over there. We must understand that before we get that Holy of Holies, there are things that must go on, must go ahead of us before we get to that Holy of Holies. Therefore, even though we are given full access anytime to come to his presence, unlike the other dispensation, does not mean we will get his full attention, the full benefit of coming before the throne of grace, if we neglect what we must do in seeking his attention. You said that God going to see God. There's no guarantee that the fact that you went there give you attention. Are we there? No, you're going to have a full benefit seeking him. When you neglect, what is the approach? So the fact that you entered the office of the president does not mean the president will give you his attention. Have you gone to a place that you have been neglected before, even though you entered? Am I the only person? Especially when the boss is not around, the secretary wants to show you that she has. There you know, sit, he's coming. Sometimes the boss, you will not tell the boss, you just want to just show you pepper. The fact that you have access does not guarantee attention. So we must know what we need to do to get the attention. I remember one story one of my father shared with me. There's this big man of God that he wanted to invite to come and minister for him. They went to that office at 9 a.m. They sat there. Because their envelope was not that heavy. Even though he had to come that day and gave them time that he would see them at 10 a.m. Because other people were coming with heavier envelopes and heavier, they saw the man of God 6 p.m. and he only gave them 5 minutes of the time. What is that the program when he didn't come? Even though he accepted to come. The father says does not guarantee attention. Let's admit that. And that was the day he decided that he would not ever waste his energy to chase all a certain part of God all in the name of. I hope you get it. There's a way God can teach you lessons. Yeah, and he learned it very well. Are we there? How can you go to a place at 9 and see the person at 6? 6 o'clock. Oh, I'm coming. Wait. You go do whatever he wants to do. I can see you can remember some of those occasions, right? All right, so quickly. That's in approaching God, there are three key things that we must always find. Number one, these are alignment. The act of alignment is number one. Very important. Which represents the outer court again of the tabernacle. So it's the same tabernacle principle. It's same principle, but I'm talking about alignment. Are we there? Number two, activity spirit. To prepare you for an encounter. So there are certain activities that the Holy Spirit will do with you or do to you that will prepare you for the encounter. It's number two. And this represents the board, holy place. Then finally, engaging his atmosphere, when you assess it, engaging the atmosphere, when access is fully what? Granted now. Which stands for the of what? Holies of the tabernacle. Anytime we are engaging God, we want to practice a special appointment or daily appointment with God, but we are talking about special appointment today. These three things are non-negotiable. Alignment, activities with the Holy Spirit, prepare you for the encounter, and then engaging the when access is what? Given. You must know these three things. You must know how to go about them. So number one, how do we seek alignment? Let's start with alignment. Alignment is all about being on the same wavelength with God so you can receive him. So when we say we are in alignment with God, the religious term we know is what? Righteousness. Alignment. So you are at where God wants you to be. You are in the same location. You are in the same atmosphere, the same environment, alignment. So anytime we want to do something with God, we must check our alignment. Check what? Alignment. It has to be straight. Because if there's a flow and then we are not in alignment, we can mess it. Are we on the same page? So we must make sure that the alignment is what? It's right. The alignment is what? So this is the place where we do everything to get God's attention. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 4 to 5. That is our first reading. So in the place of alignment check, what we are trying to do, so we're talking about practicing the personal retreat, practicing what? Special appointment. Alignment check is the first thing. We do everything to get God's attention. Everything to get God's attention. Now look at here. This young man who became a king did something and forced God from his place. And the king went to what? Given to size there, for there was the great high place. For that was the great high place, sorry. 1,000 burnt what? Offerings. Did someone offer upon the altar? If you read the Chronicles, you'll find out that the thousands we're talking about, it was 777. Bull, goats, and sheep. The young man smoked God in heaven that God had no option than to come down. That is what we call alignment. He did everything to get God's attention. So verse 5. You see what said in Gibeon, what happened? The Lord appeared. Now what happened? The Lord, where was God? That's the question. So Solomon did something that created an alignment. Alignment check. Did everything and gained God's attention. Gains God's attention. And the Bible said, God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give what? After smoking us in heaven, you know, we have come. What do you want? So that you don't disturb our peace again. Are we there? So the alignment check over here is talking about everything or anything we need to do to get God's attention. You know that he conceals things, is that not it? And we are to search for it. So it means that if we don't search, we don't do things to activate it, we're not going to get his attention. So don't just get up and say, oh, I'm praying. The first thing is you have to make sure that there's an alignment check. Gain his attention first. And that is the act of the what? Outer court. What's the first thing that done? The gate in the outer court. Which stands for what? Thanksgiving and what? Praise. The Bible said the Lord habits in the praise of his what? His people. So we can smoke God in heaven with praise and thanksgiving. You will come down. It will force God down. When the praises goes up, he comes down. So you don't just get up there. This thing is so common. When people go on, because of the impact of their whatever they are going to do, the way they are so worried, if especially it's an inquiry, they forget that they have to even thank God first. Before you do anything, make sure that you have thanked God enough to get his attention. You have thanked God enough to get his attention. We must list things to thank God for, even the least things. So when you go on a retreat, people say, I can't do 2 days, 3 days retreat. I tell you, you can even spend one day thanking God. If you want to start thanking God the day you were born, your primary education. Are you with me? You don't know everything. Let's read the book of Ezra chapter 3 verse 11. Let's look at something about it. Ezra chapter 3 verse 11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Because he is what? Good. And for his mercies endureth for what? Ever. Toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundations of the house of the Lord was what? Was laid. That is it. And the glory. That's where the prophecy came. That the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the what? It took praise. So first alignment to gain God's attention is what? Praise and thanksgiving. If we don't praise God, we are ungrateful people. And God is always not happy with people who are ungrateful. God is grieved when we become ungrateful. Other two scriptures you can read over here. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 50. You can write it down. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 50. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 verse 2. 2 Chronicles. Let's read the 2 Chronicles. Chapter 31 verse 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priest. The same thing, eh? And the Levite after their courses, every man according to his service, the priest and the Levite for burnt offerings and for what? Peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tent of the Lord. So there were people who are assigned. So the temple that was built, there were people who are assigned to make sure that there's what? Alignment. Gaining God's attention all day. Gaining God's attention what? All day. Are we all there? Number two, the brazen altar. The second thing we need to do in the principles of alignment, practicing. So when you go for personal retreat, special appointment with God, you must spend quality time to thank God and praise God. You can go with songs. That's why you see the materials here. You see what we're talking about. You gather enough songs, praise and thanksgiving songs. So that's not where you go and sing. Yeah, you. No. That's not the place you go and sing those songs. No. That is not it. She. What is that song for? Please find proper praise songs. Find proper praise and thanksgiving songs. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done. Unto the Lord be the glory, greatest. Unyami tunfo she yensuda. Wataban kese no boy yehuban. Oba tampa. O come yefamu. My niyaye. When you begin to sing these songs, you yourself you notice that you have gained his attention. The atmosphere will change. Now, when the atmosphere has changed, the next thing we need to do is the place of affirmation. This is where we seek alignment with God through our heart. Follow me. Through our heart. This is where we reaffirm what we believe, which is the basis of our justification to approach God. The brazen altar. Affirmation. Affirmation. I'm going to explain this. So this is where we work on our heart. We start to. This is where we, not the Holy Spirit, we begin to what? Check ourselves to reaffirm the things we believe. Our justification. Our heart? Justification. So this is the place we remind ourselves of the finished work of Christ that give us the legal right to approach God. This is necessary because our heart must come into terms with God for us to assess him in his realm. It's very necessary because our heart must come to terms with God so that we can be able to what? Assess him in his realm. Can we read it? Now, Romans chapter 10 verse 10. Let's read the scripture here. Whenever we approach God, we must always work on our principles of justification. We must always be sure that we understand that we have been what? By it. So this is not where you are going to plead for God. No. This is an alignment check. If your heart If God come, and we'll come to that place. Let's read. Now he said, for with the heart, man believeth to what? Righteousness. Or with what? The heart. So believe is out of what? The heart. So if your heart is not in agreement with the things that Christ has done for you, that has given you right, and you still believe that you must do something to gain your right to stand with God, then you have already lost your alignment. I do know there are people like that. That they'll go, they want to go and pray, like they're going to pray with God, and then they think that they have done things that they have to do something to gain God's attention. You know, when the church was plagued into the dark parts, do you know they believe that if you die, you have to pay for transportation for your... So the people are not... So you see some of the things, and a lot of things. We know, there are a lot of things going on in the church. People think that they can pay for their sins. Some religions believe in that. They fast and they do things. All in the name of what? Trying to what? Atone for their sin. The moment you approach God with that mentality, you have lost it. This is the place of affirmation. You believe in the finished work of Christ. You believe in your status as a child of God. You confirm. That's why I like the declarations that daddy gave us. You declare all those things, and this is an alignment of that, and you cannot lie about it. Do you know why? In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, let's read something about that. Whenever you come before God, let's look at what God looks at. And so, 16. Please, do you have an anointing oil? Our media team. Where is Kabela? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For what? The Lord seeth not as man seeth. Are you following? For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at where? The heart. So it doesn't matter the kind of posture you come before the presence of God. The first thing God checks is your heart. Is your heart in alignment? Do you believe that you, Christ, has paid for what you are coming? What you are, you have the legality, or you are coming here full of yourself with all your self-righteousness? Are you here to pray like the Pharisees who said, Lord, I pay my tithe. I did what? I am not a sinner like what? The man stand over. Are you that kind of person who come there with yourself of full righteousness, or you come there with the full belief that Christ is the reason why you are standing before God? So this is the place where you begin to what? Reflect on the things that Christ has done for you. And you begin to confess them. That the blood. So this is where we activate the blood. That the blood has done this for me. The blood has all done this for me. I am a child of God. You have to always resolve this. Sometimes, you see, sometimes when you are plagued into certain life, and you lose so much touch with God, when you are coming back to God, I tell you, these things will be there. You will come there. You know. Are we all there? So the second alignment is that our heart aligning with what? God. The moment the heart is in alignment, believes unto righteousness, believes that it is what Christ has done, that brings me before you, that fear of guilt and everything is gone. Your ability to approach God when you fall into sin is on the ability of you holding on to your justification. Yes. It is Christ, Jesus, but nothing else. It's not us. Salvation is Jesus and Jesus alone. Are we there? Okay. So the third thing is the brazen lava. Is it lava? Yeah, lava. Are we there? We are still on the principle of what? Alignment. So the alignment starts with what? Our praise and worship. We are getting attention. When God notices the praise and worship and comes and he checks, okay, is the heart in alignment? Are you following? Then when he notices that, yes, the heart is in alignment, the heart believes into righteousness, move on to the next alignment. When we get the attention of God, now we move into the next alignment. When you miss these things, forget, you are wasting your time. Stop whatever you are doing. This is also an act of alignment, the brazen lava, where we observe our general consecration. And this is where the problem is. You know, there are a lot of people who are so strong in the teachings of justification, but they always overlook God's sanctification. Be careful of any teacher or preacher of the word who tells you that you can continue to live in a life that is of a sinful nature and still God will be accepting you. That is a deception. That message is for justification. That whatever you are, you come as you are, God will receive you. But God does not expect you to remain the same. So the third alignment God checks with us, and this is where we also have to work on ourselves, is not the alignment of what? Our general consecration. Which is dealing with our soul. Dealing with what? Our soul. At this point, we are dealing with things that can hinder or make nonsense of our prayers. Things that can hinder or make nonsense of our prayers. So the entire special appointment you're having with God, this is the point you have to make sure you deal with them, because these things, if you don't deal with them, they can hinder or make nonsense of it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 15, God said something to the people of Israel. Listen to what he said. So it is not enough to be justified. It is required that you what? Be sanctified. And the sanctification demands what? Consecration. So this is where you activate your sanctification. Very important. Isaiah 1:15. God. And when ye spread forth your hands, I would hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not what? Hear. Your hands are full of what? Blood. God was speaking to the people of Israel that there is a point in your life that when you pray, I will be deaf to those prayers. These are his own people. His own people. So when you lift up your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. So there's a point in our life when we approach God, there are certain things that are working against us to make nonsense of our prayers. And it is at the lava we deal with these things. That is consecration. We make sure that we deal with these things so that we can be in full alignment. Number one, iniquity. Things that can make nonsense of things of the soul, you have to deal with iniquity. I hope you all know iniquity. I've spoken about it. Psalms chapter 66, verse 18. Number one, iniquity. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Please help me read it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not. So here is when you hold on to things, okay? Iniquity, the propensity to sin, the element of factors or things that are within you that expose you to veer from the things of God. If you don't expose them to light for God to help you, and you regard them, means that you embrace them. Forget. God will not hear you. You know very well that alcohol is an issue in your family. Yes, still. You embrace an atmosphere of alcoholism. You are going to make nonsense of your prayer life. You are going to make nonsense of it. You know what I'm talking about. Things that exposes you. Weaknesses, iniquity, things that are within the bloodline, and you are prone to do them, and you regard them, the way regard them, you give attention to them, they'll get you. You know that there are issues of womanizing in your family, but you want to be a father of many ladies. You spiritual father all of them. Very soon you father their children. You see, these days we joke with them. Sister, you know very well that in your family, the moment they hit 16, 17, 18, they give birth without a husband. When you're 16 years, you have already started to accommodate some funny brothers around you. You will soon come for your outdoor. When you regard iniquity, the iniquity will do everything possible to hinder your prayers. Number two, idols of the heart. I've already preached a message on this whole thing. Idols of the heart. Do you know what idols of the heart, do you know what they do? Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 4, do you know what they do to you? Idols of the heart will give you wrong answers to your prayers. Remember I told you that after you have meditated on the guy, you have already fallen in love with him, you have already accepted him in your heart, then you go to God and pray. God will give you the revelation you are expecting. God will answer that. God will give you the revelation of he's the one. Oh, prophet, am I lying? God will give you that revelation. Because God knows your heart. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sitteth upon his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of. So don't blame the prophet. It is not our fault. What is in your heart is God wants us to tell you. So if you come to us to seek confirmation, we will tell you what God has. Don't say the prophet misled you. No. It is your idols. Your covetousness is an idol of your heart. So you know that this thing you are doing is an act of covetousness. You come to the prophet. You prophesy it. He'll give you that prophecy. It is not the prophet's fault. So idols of the heart will give you wrong answers. So you marry this person after 2-3 years, issues come up. Said, I prayed about it. Let me ask you, when you were praying about it, what was the condition of your heart? So I'm still talking about sanctification, consecration. If you don't deal with these things, and you lack alignment. And when there's no alignment, forget it. Number 3. I've preached a whole message on idols of the heart. Unforgiveness and bitterness, the dangerous of all. This one, dear, I beg you, don't try it. Don't try. Don't go to God. Don't try it. When you're an unforgiving person and you are bitter, don't approach God. You can't forgive people. With your coming, I'm a bachelor. I'll teach you lesson. I'll show you pepper. To the extent we have what we call the pepper them yot. So people will be encouraging you. Yes, show him, show her. If you're unforgiving, the least thing you're offended and you are so bitter. Yes, you have issue with this person. You come to church, you can't look at this person. You can't. No, what is your problem? They are coming to God. God will not even mind you. One of the people he doesn't want to see them is unforgiving people. Don't go. Don't waste your time. Let it go. So you have to deal with all these things. Unforgiveness and what? Bitterness. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Matthew 5 verse 23. You can put these scriptures down. Number 4. Evil conscience and motive. AKA Adunfi. If you don't let God deal with these things, if you don't deal with them, don't go. Evil conscience and motive is the veil that Paul spoke about in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that the veil that covers the glory. You will never see the face of God if your motive and your conscience is not pure. You are praying for breakthrough all because you want to spite on somebody. Forget that retreat. So, somebody is going to pray for fruit of the womb because she wants to give birth to spite somebody. You are praying for a job so that you can make money and laugh at people. Your conscience and your motive for approaching God is so darkened, you not see his face. It's a veil. But we all with an open face. There shouldn't be veil. Beholding us in what? A glass. The glory of what? The Lord. You will never behold his glory. You will never see his face. When your motive and your conscience is not clear. So we, at this level, we allow God to purge our conscience. Purge our conscience. Motive. The enquiry we are going to make, what is the motive behind it? The reason why you are going to see God on a special occasion, what is your motive? What is your conscience? How is your conscience like? Some people's conscience are snared. Some of you, or some of us, there are certain doors God will never open for because of our conscience. Let's admit it. Because there are certain places, and if your conscience is not alive, the things you do, you yourself, you'll be surprised. I went for the funeral. Your sister was telling me something that the village where we had the funeral, the ECG over there, when they noticed that people are coming from the town, like Accra and other stuff, to go and do something over there, would turn off the light. Until you come to pay them money. So they practically lived in darkness when they went there. And the dead, they really needed the light most. The dead, they needed the light most. And they went to the ECG office and paid money to them. Before they left the office, they had a light. And the duration which they paid for it, the light stood. Conscience. The question I ask myself is, why would you be so dead to your conscience that because somebody has come from the town to have a funeral or do something in the village, you have decided to punish the people, who are the habitants of the village, because of your own guess? As if we use the light, we are not going to pay for it. Do they give the light to the villagers for free? So you see. So imagine you are there. You have an opportunity where you can do these kind of things, and God has not helped you. You want promotion. You want God to come and examine your conscience. Nah. This gentleman, we can't attend to him. I pray that God will help us to be in alignment with him. You see, it is a waste of time to go and spend. People have gotten ulcer and all kinds of ailments in the name of retreat, and nothing has happened to their life. All because of these things. There's no alignment. Hallelujah. Time factor. When we move from alignment, the next thing we move into is the activities the Holy Spirit does with us or does to us. So this is the place we allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for an encounter. The place we allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for what? An encounter. Are we all there? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Well, let's look at the 26. The Bible says we know not how to ought to pray. I thought it's the Spirit itself who ought help us out infirmity. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be ought. So the key word is what? Help our ought infirmities, our weakness. So in as much as we have seek alignment, there may be certain things that we are limited, that we cannot be able to put into place. So now the Holy Spirit himself will come down and prepare you for the encounter. These are the activities we're going to look at. So what is the first activity we are going to look at? The first activity is the golden candle or sticks activity. This place... So you know what we are in the holy place. The holy place has to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dealing with us. Are you with me? So he's dealing with us. So he's having an activity with us, preparing us for what? The encounter. The first point of contact is the golden candle stick. And our Father and the Lord taught us that this is represents seven systems of the believer. The seven spiritual systems of what? The believer. Are you with me? Okay, can we continue? Yeah, good. Thus, the golden candlestick practice is by allowing the Holy Spirit to set us thoroughly by what? Him. Even though we may have dealt with certain things at the lover, the Holy Spirit can do a better search in us. So we allow the Holy Spirit to conduct a thorough search by him, or using our spirit to what? Conduct the search. You know that verse, chapter 20, verse 27. For the spirit of a man is the keeper of the Lord, that he used to search the inner part of what? The belly. You know? So we allow the Holy Spirit to do a thorough search in us. The golden candlestick experience. Activity with the Holy Spirit. Are we there? Good. So Now, let's move on. This search is conducted on our whole spiritual systems by asking and meditating on specific questions for each of our systems to reveal our true motive and to help us know who we truly are. So what we do over here in allowing the Holy Spirit to conduct a search by himself or the Holy Spirit or by our spirit is that we ask certain questions. We meditate on certain things and certain questions, which is very direct to our spiritual systems. And you remember that at the holy place, remember when we're doing our daily appointment, there's a place for meditation. So this is a principle of meditation. So in as much as daily appointment, this one's meditation is a meditation over pondering over things, asking questions, meditating on them. And when you begin to do that, that means that you have opened up for the Holy Spirit to do what? Conduct a search. And you will do your two motives. Because sometimes your heart can deceive you. You know, your heart can be deceptive. So in the book of Psalm 17 verse 3. I wish we can read this in the NLT. Do you have the NLT? Do you have the NLT? But you can still present this. Let me see if I can open my NLT. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So, what Psalms, right? Chapter 17. The verse 3. For in visitation of the night, you inspected my heart. This is the speaking. And refined my soul in what? In fire. Until nothing vile was found in me. I will not sin with my heart wet. So he said, in the visitation of night, you came to inspect my heart. So sometimes you think that you are very fine. Allow the Holy Spirit to start conducting search on you. And then you realize that there are things to be catered for. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, the golden candlestick activities is to, number one, what is the purpose of this search? Thorough search. I'll give you three things. Number one, serve as spiritual health check. Spiritual health check. So, in the holy place, the first thing that we need to work on is our spiritual health. We have to check whether we are fit or we are not fit. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. Spiritual health check. So that thorough search that the Holy Spirit will conduct on us by meditation and prayer, where we ask specific questions concerning our specific systems, the first advantage it gives us is that it gives us spiritual health check. That's why personal retreat or special appointment is very necessary. Because you cannot do this at all, daily appointments. Two of us. You need more time. For this cause, many are hot weak and sickly among you, and many what? Are asleep. So there can be weak Christians, sick Christians, and dead Christian. When you go for a special appointment with God and you enter the place of the golden stake activity in the Holy Spirit and begin to conduct thorough search on you, the first thing he's going to do is to check your spiritual fitness. Are you healthy? So if you are weak, you will know. If you are dead, you will know. If you are hot, sick, we will know. So your spiritual fitness will be what? Revealed. Your spiritual fitness will be what? So you see, it is very important. So when you go for a retreat, you don't rush. No. These things are very important. Because the Holy Spirit must be very sure that you are fit to be in the presence of God. You are hot, fit. Number two. The golden candlestick activity help us to judge ourselves. One of the very important things as a believer you must learn to do is judging yourselves. Continue to the verse 31. To verse 32. 31, 32. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 31 to 32. Let's read. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be what? Charged. But when we are judged, we are chastised. So you see it? So for God not to chasten you, because this is the, before you enter the Holy of Holies, for you to be judged. Because remember that when the priest enters the Holy of Holies and he is not, he will be judged. And his judge is what? Condemnation. Their own was condemnation, straight outright death. They are gone. But our own is what? Be chastened. Radbe Huma. You receive some whoopies. So at the holy place, before we enter the Holy of Holies to go and then transact business, do whatever, we judge ourselves. So he said, if we should not judge ourselves, we will not be what? Judged. When was the last time you sat down to judge yourself? Very important. Number three, service our spiritual systems. So that is the place that there's a servicing of what? Our spiritual systems. So if you are weak, you are sick, you are dead, this is the place where the Holy Spirit begins to work on you. This is the place of what? Refreshing. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Hallelujah. Are we blessed today? Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of what? Refreshing shall come from what? The presence of what? The Lord. Times of what? Refreshing. So when you have allowed the Holy Spirit to thoroughly search you, conduct a thorough search on you at this place, what happens is that it comes to times of what? Refreshing. This is the place. A new breath. A new life. Something happens to you. So number one, your spiritual health condition is checked. Number two, an opportunity for you to what? Judge yourself. Number three, it's a time of what? Refreshing. You'll be serviced. That is why retreat is a necessity. Spend time. Set a day aside. Go and do. These things are important. So now, the seven spiritual health check, or how do you call it? Search system. The specific questions you ask. This is what Daddy Joe taught us. I'm going to give it to you. If you want to get details of it, go and listen to what? Practice, principles, and protocols of what? Personal retreat. You get a lot over there, but I'm just going to give you a few. Can we move on? So, number one, the first system we examine is our foundational system. We know our foundational system, right? So our foundational system is made up of what? Our belief, our values, and not our world view. Now, when you come here, the question you have to ask yourself for the Holy Spirit to conduct a thorough search on you is, number one, what is your belief? What do you believe? So another belief system, question number one, what do you believe? What do you want? You have to convince, yes, you have to ask yourself, what do I believe? Am I believing in the principles of the world over, are we there? When you ask this question, the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with you. Number two, what are the things that are trying to affect your Christian beliefs? What are the things that are trying to affect your Christian beliefs? Some of us, the school we went to, the things we started learning in class is beginning to shape our Christian beliefs. The association we have found ourselves. It can happen to anybody. Things begin to affect your Christian heart. You used to believe in prayers until you travel to US. Now you start to have issues with prayers. What are the things? Are you with me? You used to believe in tithe and offering. You believe in it. You believe in the principle. But something is happening. Somebody has said something. A video is circulating. Then it begins to affect you. So you are withdrawn. When you go on retreat, you will find out what are the things that are already affecting your heart. Number three, what have you been shaking in your Christian beliefs? So the things that have come, has it shaken, has it moved you? You used to believe in sex after marriage. But when that young man came, are you still a believer? Ask your friend, are you still a believer? Are you still a believer? So it's very important to wish, are they still believing or the help my disbelief? This is where our belief system is being hurt. Number four, do you still believe the things you used to believe? These are questions you ask yourself at retreat. And the Holy Spirit, by meditation, the Holy Spirit will begin to what? Conduct a thorough search on you. Then you know whether you are healthy or not. Then you judge yourself. And then you what? Refresh you. Value system. Because of time factor, I want to quickly. Value system. So you see that belief system. What you ought? You believe. What do you believe? Number one. What are the things that are trying to affect the things you believe? Are you being shaken? Are you shaking the things you believe? Are you still believing the things you do you used to believe? Oh, I don't believe him. You have been hearing a lot of old Christians be saying that. Oh, forget those things. It doesn't no, me, I don't believe them anymore. Have you ever heard those things before? Yes. If you don't do a regular spiritual health check by going on special appointment for the Holy Spirit to help you, these things will be affected. You see that you are making progress in life. However, there is a problem here. Your belief. Value system. So I'm going to combine your value system and your worldview into one. Let's go quickly. Six questions you can ask yourself about them. Six. Number one. Do you think about his concern? Do you think about the things that concern God? What do you think about? Do you think about the things that concern God? Number two. Are you concerned about the kingdom of God? Are you concerned? And you know what I talk about as kingdom of God? Know what we are talking about here? Are you concerned? Number three. What are your reactions if you hear certain things concerning us? When you hear certain concerning issues about the kingdom of God? What are your reactions? Are you those who also rejoice when men of God are falling? Are you also part of those who celebrate and give it to the church on social media when issues of the church comes up? It is your value system and your worldview you are checking here. What is your standpoint when the church is under attack? What is your reaction? Are we there? Are you moved to prayer and intercession concerning matters of the kingdom, especially souls? When you walk around and you see young boys, young girls throwing their life away, involved in all kinds of life, does it move you to prayer? If it doesn't move you, then you are dead. You are not sick. You are not weak. You need help. When was the last time you were moved to pray for souls? You see why retreat is very powerful? Because at this point you begin to. So those of you get up to retreat and then you start. No. You have to do all these things. Number one, so that it will help you towards check your spiritual health status. Number two, to judge yourself before you are being chased. Because if you enter the Holy of Holies and you have not judged yourself, you'll be dealt with too. You'll be dealt with. Number five, right? What are the things you spend your time and money on? Very important. We will know your values and we will know the things you put first when we look at what you spend your time on and your money on. People will tell you, you are giving your money to pastor and the pastors are blessed. You hear, this is where your belief system is affected. When the belief is affected, it travels into the values and then the worldview will begin to change. So what do you spend your time on? Do you spend your time on things that would meet the needs of your flesh or the things that will meet the needs of your spirit? Number six. This is one of the questions that he asked us. If you get money now, what are the first things you will think about? These are some of the questions when you go for a retreat. Asking yourself is very difficult. And you have to be honest. Judge yourself before God judge you. Just do yourself the honest and be honest. God, if I get money now, I'll buy a car. Forget your church. I'll think about myself first. So the question is, will you think about yourself, your selfish flesh interest, or you consider the kingdom? Will you even put the kingdom in your budget? If money gets into your hands first, what is the things that run through your mind? Do you add the kingdom? Sometimes you even forget to take tithe. When you're done spending, remember that, I've not paid tithe. So God, don't worry, the next one. That is how you started. For 5 years now, you have not paid tithe. You are sick. You need to judge yourself, because the day you try to approach God in his realm, glory realm, he will chasten you. You will not be condemned, but he will judge you by what? He will whoop you. I'm not the one who said it. Paul said it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse what? 32. Are we there? So this is what God does to our foundational system. When we ask these questions, the Holy Spirit will conduct a search thoroughly. Try your heart. Search your heart deeply. And when these things come, it is time for repentance. It is time for taking notes. Take note of certain things. It's time for praying for grace. So this is why your prayer topic at this point is all that you hear people saying is grace, mercy. Radim Humobo, why? Yay, Radim Humaka. Radim Humobo. You see, we have not gone for retreat before, but this is how some of us we pray. You, some of the things, when it hits you, you just go on your knees. God, this one, dear, I know. I'm sorry. God, mercy. I'm judging myself so that when I enter your presence, I will not be judged. I also do this. That's why I said retreat. At least you should do it 3 times in a year so that you can stay healthy. Because the glory realm can come anytime. God can descend here. And when your thing, your blessing is coming, God is about to attend you, then he does this. That's an issue. He moves on. When we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. We will not be judged. Number two. I can't talk about all. So we know we have 7 spiritual systems, right? I'll talk about 3 today. Next meeting, we will continue and then we will see how we can wrap up on special appointments. It's been a blessing, right? I've loved it. Number two is the character system of the believer. Your spiritual maturity, what? Level. Character system, spiritual maturity. Now, spiritual maturity has nothing to do with the level of your tongue speaking and the demonstration of gifts. So when you come to this point, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to search that system. So we have done with your foundational system. Let's come to what is the Holy Spirit? What are the questions you have to ask and meditate on for the Holy Spirit to do a search there? Number one, how is your love walk like? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 to 7, if I'm right, love is what? Kind. Show it to them. Love does not. The question you ask yourself, how do I measure up to these qualities of love? And this is to other people. Love one another. How kind are you to people? Love suffered long. Can we start from verse 3? Let me see verse 3. Okay. So like verse 4 is verse 4, actually. Thank you. Verse 4. Charity suffered long. Is what? Kind. Envied not. Do you have New King James? For the avoidance of issues, let's look for New King James, right? Let's all open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, so I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous. When blessing comes to someone else, love does not brag about one's achievement nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honestly and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of what? Shelter. For it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. The question is, when you go for a retreat, you ask yourself, how well do I measure up to these qualities? Your spiritual health check. How well do you measure up to these qualities? That is what to tell your character. Number two. Time is fast spent. Quickly. How well do you walk in the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. How well do you walk in them? How well do people see the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Are we there? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Number three. Very important one. Listen to this. What are the things that you crave for? Are they fleshly things or they are spiritual things? What are your cravings? When you woke up in the morning, what is the first thing that you crave for? Movies? Entertainment? What exactly do you crave for? Or you crave for some hot sermon? Some hot worship? Some people can go a whole week without listening to even one gospel song. One, not a message. But they cannot do without TikTok. When they wake up, their soul is yearning to be. What is the current update? Kokonsebuku. Your character system is owned by the things you crave for. Hallelujah. Finally, let's take our informative system. Informative system of the believer. Now, with the informative system, the search is on these questions. How do you hear God? How? Do you hear God through prophets? So you, if a prophet does not prophesy to you, you never hear God. How do you hear God? Very important. Number two. You compare your current hearing ability to the past. If the past is better than the current, trouble. Has the ability to hear God, has it increased? Or it's worse? Number three. Are your conscience and convictions alive? Or you are compromising? This is where you give, and this one, you, if you leave it to you alone, you lie. That's why the Holy Spirit will do it himself. And you can't lie in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will expose you plain. You think that small thing you did last time is not a compromise. The Holy Spirit is a compromise. It has affected your conscience. When you saw your roommate came in with their friend and you walk out for 5 minutes and came back, the Holy Spirit said, did you know what happened in 5 minutes? The Holy Spirit asked, did you know what happened in 5 minutes? Hallelujah. I see you don't like the message today. Let's close. Hallelujah. Let's close. Should pastor close? The Holy Spirit will test your conscience. When you bought the thing and there was a change, also, with the 50 pesos, oh, it's nothing. You kept it. You go for a retreat and ask the Holy Ghost to check your conscience. He remind you of that 50 pesos change. And ask, so why did you keep it? Do you know you're a thief? Oh, me, I've received some before. Yes. That's why I don't like to go for a retreat. Because if you go for a retreat, what he will tell you, you don't like to go again. But if you don't like, you don't go. Are we there? Is your conscience alive? So you know very well that the thing you are doing, probe, you are hurting the person. But you don't care. When you go on retreat, you always want to tell that, you know that food that last time you kept and you didn't give this person. Do you know that is wickedness? Wickedness. You are wicked. So you 10 cities, if you give 5 cities to the person, what will happen? You think that, oh, you are keeping, you are safe, you are keeping yourself. You are thinking of you are very, very wicked. You go. You say, I'm daring you. Go on a retreat. Ask the Holy Spirit to search. And then you know that. I said, this is the place where you mercy. That's all you can. You can't say anything. Mercy, grace. I don't remember my enemy. You see, that is why I said our righteousness is like a filthy rag before him. This is where you get to, you know that. See, you. That's why you can't. You will not ever have a high standard and think that you are better than other Christians. If you are somebody who practices these things, wherever you come, you see you have compassion for people who are struggling. Because there is no way you can meet up to the mark. Anybody. time you go before God, you find out that you are underscoring every day. And all you can do is that, Lord, I've judged myself. See, this is not to prove that you are doing well, though. Is that you deal with yourself before you come to the Holy of Holies. You judge yourself. It will keep you on your toes to know that there is nobody that you can't meet this score. It's grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Number four. This is a very dangerous one, but I'll say it. When was the last time God led you or convicted you to do something? Somebody said, When was the last time? Friday, I'll say something here. That when God bless you with $1 million, will you ask God which kind of cash you should buy? You know, consult. When was the last time you did something that God convicted you? When was the last time your offering that you gave was a conviction offering? When was the last time that the prayer meeting you came was the Holy Spirit who convicted you? When was the last time you blessed somebody and it was a conviction of the Holy Spirit? So some of us, God wants you to bless people, but because our conscience and everything is dead to Him, He can't use us. So you ask yourself, when was the last time I did something by the leadings of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit led me to do this. When was the last time we were led to fast? When was the last time the Holy Spirit woke you up at the night and said, pray for this person? So you just go and judge yourself so that God will not hold it. Hallelujah. Amen. The fifth one. When was the last time God spoke to you? When we say that God spoke to you, what I mean is the word of God entered you like light and brought forth understanding that you have never seen before. When was the last time you were listening to a message or studying the Bible and God gave you a revelation, an understanding that really changed your life? Changed your perception and everything now. When was the last time God spoke to you? You read the Bible for religious purposes. You do all, see, we have been trained. See, these things that we have been taught when we are young, we are not told that these things were for these purposes. Today you are being told. Now when you go for a retreat and you begin to engage the Holy Spirit at the candlestick activity level, that you do His job with you, the searching and revealing, that is the place. So at this place, what we do most is what? We ask for what? Forgiveness. We ought to repent. We take note. We do what? We take note of things we have to what? Work on. Three things in this place you shouldn't forget is that, number one, it helps us to check our spiritual health. Number two, it gives us the room to judge ourselves before we are being what? Judged. Never give God a room to judge you. You may not like it. So judge yourself. Number three, it gives us room for what? Refresh. We are being what? Serviced. I pray that God will help us. God will continue to what? Help us. That whenever we want to come before Him, we will know how to approach Him. Practicing special appointment is very important with the approach. That whenever we approach God, we will seek alignment. And then we will allow Him to do certain activities for us. Or with us, so that we can be prepared for what? Encounters. God bless us.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.